Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Acts the 19th chapter. We are going to be studying about the riot in Ephesus. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us online today are believers in Christ, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us, the gospel helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. And there seems to be a lot of things that we don't understand today that are difficult, and the gospel helps us with that. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. You could cause a riot. Paul did. If following Jesus could be that offensive to the masses, then they could come for you. Now remember our series, we're in the book of Acts, we're studying the gospel to the ends of the earth as the big overall picture, and we looked at bold beginnings, we looked at the church expansion, and now we're looking at the church on mission from chapter 12 and following. This is the church going to the ends of the earth, and it's really about Paul's missionary journeys, and ultimately he goes to Rome and makes it to Rome. I think we have some illustrations of the three missionary journeys, if they can put up, I guess, the first missionary journey. This is the one that has the first and the second missionary journey. On the first missionary journey, you see this, the blue line that came right there that went around this way and came back to Antioch. And then you have the second missionary journey that went farther out all the way over to Athens and to Corinth with a stop in Ephesus as well. And then the third missionary journey, I think this is what we're in now. You see the red travels of Paul. He went up to visit in Galatia, the churches there, and then he spent 3 years in Ephesus, and this is where we are now. He's going to eventually go back up to Troas, go over into Macedonia. He won't go to Athens this time, but he'll go around that, make that little turn and go to Corinth, and then he'll come back through and end up in Jerusalem. Down here in the bottom. And so this is the third missionary journey that we're involved in now in looking at our study in the book of Acts. The church on mission is about Paul pioneering the gospel to new places. It causes problems. Everywhere Paul has been, it was a threat to the religious crowd of his day and the city in which he went, and we know that many times he would go to the synagogue because he was an accomplished scholar in the Old Testament. So he would go and argue for the claims of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Many times they would shut him down. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was put in shackles, and they don't like to hear the message that Christ is the answer when they have a religious system that they were protecting, and sometimes they come after the messenger. And that's what happened in this situation that we're going to get into today. Why would the Christian message cause a riot? Why would the Christian message cause a riot? That's what we're going to look at today. So I'm going to read from the 21st verse of the 19th chapter. So I want you to find your place in Acts chapter 19, verse 21, and I'm just going to read through the end of the chapter. I think it's about 23 verses here as we read this, okay? So I'll read it out loud. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. When these things were accomplished, well, what were those things? The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed, okay? When these things were accomplished, verse 21, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Verse 22, so he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. He was in Ephesus. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation, and he said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and they cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion. And rushing into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And most of them did not know why they had even come together. Verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. All right, so they ended up in this big riot, this big uproar, commotion, the Bible talks about it as. And so why did it happen? Well, I want you to make note of these things as to reasons. And here's the challenge for us. Can I just tell you this, church family? The challenge in any preaching and in any Bible teaching is, what are the truths that we take away for our lives? Amen? It's not a history lesson only. This is the living Word of God. So we've got to ask ourselves, what are the things that we can learn from this? So I'm praying that we'll be able to do that today as we apply God's Word in our heart. Here's the first thing in verses 21 and 22. Why did the riot happen? Well, number one, it happened because of a purpose in Paul. Now, I want you to go back one verse from where we started. In verse 20, it says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Actually, that is the reason that all of this commotion happened. It's the reason that everywhere Paul went, They tried to arrest him. They put him in the prison with Silas and Philippi on the second missionary journey. They have beat him. They have run him out of town. They've done everything they know to do to stop him. Why? Because the word of the Lord grew mightily and it prevailed. Can I tell you this? We have nothing to be ashamed of to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The word of God, the truth that comes from the word of God, when you align your life with the word of God, you're going the right way. Why do we know that? Well, because God is the creator. He gave us his word. He's given us the design for life. I don't care what this old world does. You align your life with God's word and you'll be glad you did. I don't know anyone who comes to the end of their life and says, boy, I sure am sorry I became a Christian. I sure am sorry that I tried to live my life according to the principles of God's word. No, what do I hear? I hear people that get to the end of their life, they say, oh, I wish I had lived by God's word. I wish I had done what God said. Well, the reason that this riot happened is because of a purpose in Paul. And Paul had a purpose to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, okay? He wanted to go ultimately to Rome. As a matter of fact, in verse 21, this is the first mention in Scripture where Paul says, I'm ultimately wanting to go to Rome. Now, we know he wrote the great book of Romans. He wrote that from Corinth, which he was about to go to on the third journey, the journey that we're studying about. And he wrote the book of Romans, and he said this in Romans chapter 13 when he wrote them. He said, now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Remember in chapter 1, verse 16, that great verse, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in our passage here in chapter 19, verse 21, he says, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia. He's not there yet. He's still in Ephesus. He said, when I passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he wants to go ultimately to Jerusalem, and he wants to go to Rome, all right? And so we see we also know he was collecting an offering. He was collecting an offering for the saints in Jerusalem. We find that out from reading in different books of the Bible that he wrote during this period of time. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he wrote that from Ephesus. So right now, during all this three-year period is when he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. And he wrote in chapter 16, verse 3, he says, and when I come, talking about coming to Corinth, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. All right? In Romans, which he wrote from Corinth, he's in Ephesus, he wrote 1 Corinthians, he's going to go to Corinth and he's going to write Romans, he said it this way, he said, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. He was basically saying, look, all these Gentiles, all these non-Jews that have come to know Christ, they want to give a gift and take it back to the mother church to say thank you and to help those that are in need. And so he had this purpose. The reason the riot happened is the same reason the riots happened everywhere Paul went, because Paul had a purpose, and that is to get the gospel to people. And church family, this is what you as an individual and I as an individual, that's what we collectively as a church family have to do. We attempt to do it in a winsome way. We attempt to do it without arrogance. We attempt to do it as those forgiven ourselves by the gospel of Jesus. We have been greatly forgiven. Therefore, how can we sit on this information? How can we sit on it and just rejoice that we have been saved without tears in our eyes for those that do not know Christ. And so what do? We share the message that Christ is the way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And so that is the reason that the riot happened, is because of Paul's purpose, his ultimate purpose. Look at this this scripture here in verse 21. Look at your Bible in verse 21. It says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. Now, that word is not always a capital S. In your Bible, in verse 21, is it a capital S? Raise your hand. Okay, most everybody. Is there anybody has a Bible without a capital S? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one. One or two. We got more than one. We got a bunch. All right, without a capital S. Okay, there's a little bit of a debate. Was he bound in his own spirit? Because, the scripture says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. So that's not a wrong theology to say that in some cases that word for the spirit could be your own spirit. Matter of fact, if you remember back, if you want to go back to chapter 18, verse 25, Apollos, it says this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, talking about Apollos, and been fervent in spirit. How many of you have a small S on that one? Raise your hand. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I didn't even turn over there and I don't plan to? Okay, good. I got some folks that took me up on that. That's okay. Well, I just want you to know. Hang with me, people. Hang with me. I just want you to know that there are some places in Scripture where that word for spirit, which is the breath of God, is interpreted as the Holy Spirit, and in some places it interpreted that he was bound in his own spirit. And that verse on Apollos in chapter 18, verse 25, that was interpreted by most to mean that in Apollos' spirit, okay? Most people interpret this one that Paul was bound by the Spirit. In our text today, he purposed in the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit. All right. One of the reasons that scholars take it that way is because if you look over in chapter 21, verse 4, look at this. Chapter 21, verse 4. Now, I hear a few more pages turning. I'm going to call y'all out if you don't turn in your Bible, okay? 21, verse 4, the scripture says, and finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. That is a capital S there. Now, the reason that people take our text in chapter 19, verse 21, to be a capital S, is because in referring to Paul in his travels, his compelling to go certain places, they see in most places that's the capital S. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit of God purposing in his heart to get him to Jerusalem, to give that offering, to get him to Rome. All I'm saying is that the Apostle Paul had a purpose, and it was by the Holy Spirit, all right? And so because of that, he had a heart to get the gospel to new people, and because of that, everywhere he went, there was a commotion. There was some type of a problem. So why did the riot happen? Well, it happened because of a purpose in Paul. Paul was always getting the gospel to people, and it always seemed to cause a problem. Now, the other thing he did is he had a purpose to love the churches. So what did he do in verse 22? In verse 22, so he sent into Macedonia ahead of him, okay? He sent ahead of him two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. He stayed longer in Ephesus, okay? Most believe it was about a 3-year period total that he stayed in Ephesus, all right? So he sent Timothy. Well, we know who Timothy was. He was his son in the Lord, and he loved Timothy. Then he sent Erastus. In 2 Timothy 4:20, he's spoken of as a well-known companion of Paul who had a special interest in the church at Corinth. So Erastus was another colleague of the Apostle Paul. So he sent them ahead. And then it says he stayed in Asia for a time, all right? Now remember, in Ephesus, he wrote 1 Corinthians. You got that? While he was there in Ephesus, he wrote 1 Corinthians. If you just want to go back and read this later, I'm not going to tell you to turn in there. You're not going to do it anyway. But anyway, just write this reference down. 1 Corinthians 16, 8, and 9. Here's what he said from Ephesus. He said, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me." And then he says this, "And there are many adversaries." So when you pioneer the gospel somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, when you, because of your conviction of the Spirit of God, and let's even say accompanied by your own spirit in obedience to the Spirit of God, when your spirit and the Holy Spirit agree that you are to pioneer the gospel somewhere, get ready. You may cause tension. You may cause a commotion. That's exactly what Paul did. He wanted to pioneer the gospel. Romans 15:20 says this, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." Paul was always wanting to pioneer the gospel in certain places. So why did the riot happen in Ephesus? Well, it happened because of a purpose in Paul. He was passionate about getting the gospel to people. Here's the second thing. It happened because of a problem with prophets. Money. Well, we see in verses 23 through 31, it was instigated by a guy named Demetrius. In verse 23, it says in verse 23, "And about the time there arose a great commotion about the way." This was an early description of the Christian church, the way. Many believe it was because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6. And so as a result of that, people began to attach following Jesus Christ with the way. I like that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And so the reason for the satanic conflict, the reason for the commotion, the reason for the riot was instigated by Demetrius, and it was really, it happened because of a problem with prophets. His prophet, well, Demetrius, the silversmith, there appears to have been at least 33 shrines to Diana. Another name for Diana was Artemis. Some of your Bibles may use the word Artemis or have a note out in the column there that uses the word Artemis. But there were 33 shrines to Artemis or Diana throughout the Roman Empire, making it perhaps the most popular cult of all. Demetrius says to the people, he says, look, for a certain, it says in verse 25, he called them together, the workers of similar occupation, said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade." Well, what was happening? The Apostle Paul was telling people, you don't need Diana. You don't need to worship Artemis. All of this stuff is of naught. You need Jesus Christ. And the people were following. The people were coming to Christ. The people were getting saved. And so he says it's about profit. He said, y'all know that we've had a good business here. Moreover, you see and hear that not only, verse 26, at Ephesus, but throughout all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. In other words, what man has created, and by the way, this is what the ultimate of sin is man creating his own God. And the truth is, you know, people say this all the time. They said, you know, God is God and you're not. That's true. God is God and you're not. But part of the pride of mankind, the sinful nature of man, he wants to be his own God, and he wants to put a God in his own fashion. And so he creates his own God, and that's what they did with Diana. And these guys were making prophets. They would have a big celebration in the spring for Diana, and people would come, and guess what they would buy? Little trinkets of silver. And this guy made a lot of money on this. Well, guess what? Less were buying. And so why was there a riot? Well, Demetrius instigated the riot And he was forced to confess the success of the gospel. Look at verse 26. It says, moreover, let's read 25. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity in this trade. In other words, there's money in it. Moreover, verse 26, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So he was forced to confess that the gospel was working. They said that in England, when they had great awakenings, that they had to close the police station. There was no need. People weren't committing crimes. And so what'd they do? They say that the policemen formed quartets. And they said, hey, call 911. We need a quartet for the revival service tomorrow night. And they'd call down to the police, or they'd go to the police and say, we need a quartet. We need somebody to come sing. Why? Because the gospel changes lives, and that's what happened. These guys realized their profits were being cut into, all right? So why did the gospel succeed? Well, for one, there was a committed man sold out to Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he shared the gospel relentlessly with tears. He shared with tears. I don't know, sometimes I get a little emotional when I think about what Jesus has done in my life. I apologize for that. I know sometimes that's not a good thing, but I can't help it sometimes. But I tell you what, the Apostle Paul is our example. He preached with such passion that he wept because of the lostness of people. They say that William Booth and Jeff Robertson was on the board at the William Booth's organization. Why am I going brain dead? Salvation Army. Anyway, and William Booth founded that for the poor of London. And some young preacher said, Mr. Booth, I preached your sermon. And I said it exactly the way you said it, but I didn't get the response that you got. And William Booth sent him a two-word response. Try tears. The Apostle Paul stood before the people of Athens. He stood before the people of Ephesus. He stood in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And he talked about the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah of the Old Testament. And he talked about it with such tears. And why was there success of the gospel? It was because there was a committed, sold-out person. Can I tell you this? Your success in sharing the gospel really, in many ways, comes down to your own passion and your own commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and his lordship in your life. It communicates when the message is real to you. Amen? Well, it was real to the Apostle Paul. They had a committed, sold-out person that was leading them, the Apostle Paul. But I tell you what else they had. They had a committed church. In Acts 19:19, we studied it last week. They put away all their idols. Remember, they burned the magic books? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord Jesus Christ becomes Lord in a church or in a people, things happen. And so why was the gospel successful in Ephesus? Because of a committed church. And the strategy was the gospel. The strategy was not popularity. They didn't have protests against the silversmiths. What did they do? They preached the gospel of Jesus, and guess what happened? People's lives were changed, and as a result of that, they quit buying all that silver, and Demetrius stirred them up. So then they had an uproar in the theater. In verse 28, they all went down to the theater. And by the way, he invoked the pride of the city, too, in verse 27. Not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised, and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath, and they cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So, the Apostle Paul preached, and there was a great riot, there was an uproar. John Polhill, who wrote a commentary on the book of Acts in the New American Commentary, he's from Louisville, Kentucky, and he said it's about prophets. He said it would be the equivalent, now get this, it would be the equivalent of someone standing at the entrance of Churchill Downs, which is where his hometown is, during Derby Week and preaching against horse racing. And then he makes this statement, the gospel is always at its most, hear me, the gospel is always at its most controversial when it comes into conflict with economic interests. Somebody said the most sensitive nerve in a person's life is the nerve from their heart to their wallet. They were characterized as being full of wrath. The gospel can sometimes make people angry. You know why? Because it confronts them with their false religion and their sin and forces them to recognize the inadequacy of their worldview, exposing the emptiness of their lifestyle, John MacArthur says. That's true. When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it exposes people in their false religion. And sometimes it may cause a riot. So two of Paul's companions were seized. Aristarchus, who was a beloved companion of Paul, who would accompany him on his ill-fated voyage to Rome. And then also Erastus, who we know in 2 Timothy 4:20, the scripture says, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus. So when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he talked about Erastus. So they captured these two guys, and Paul wanted to go in, and he wanted to defend. They say this theater in Ephesus would hold 24,500 people. That's how big it was. And they had packed it out, and the people were shouting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," all right? So a riot in Ephesus happened because of a purpose in Paul. He had a purpose to preach the gospel. Number two, because of a problem with prophets. Here's the third reason. It happened because of a confused people. Interesting. Many times riots are made up of people that are there. They don't even know why they're there. They're confused. It says in verse 32, look at this. Well, let me read verse 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion, and they rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials, these are called Asiarchs, they were very respected leaders in the community. It's interesting, these powerful people, these officials, they appreciated Paul. And it's funny, it's interesting that sometimes when the gospel is shared powerfully, that you think, well, the officials wouldn't embrace it. Well, we don't know if they embraced it. All we do know is that they said to Paul, they sent him pleading with him that he would not venture into the theater. They wanted to protect Paul. Can I tell you this? There are some people in your world, they're not even believers, but they want you to stay strong. They want you to stay strong for the Lord because deep in their heart they know the gospel message is true. And so they're contemplating the gospel. I don't know about these Asiarchs and these officials and what they believe, but I know that they came to Paul, these powerful people in that city, and they said, don't go in there. So he didn't, all right? So verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. They didn't know why they'd come together. Can I tell you this? Some people are just looking for something to get mad about. And these people are just looking for something. I heard the story about this retired couple been married over 60 years, and they were sitting there, and they were sitting around the table, and the sweet wife got to thinking about him, and she said, "I love you." He said, "Huh?" She said, "I love you." He said, "What?" She said, "I love you." He said, "I'm tired of you too." Hey, listen, Some people are just mad. These people were confused. These people were confused, and they just were looking for something to be mad about, and they basically were down there, and they were so confused they didn't even know why they were there. They didn't know why they were there, okay? Can I tell you this? There's a tendency to be confused and to align yourselves with a riot, to align yourselves with people, and you don't even really know why you're there. It's interesting. Talking about confused, a confused world. I went Thursday night to the CIRA banquet. The CIRA organization is the women's resource and medical clinic we've had in our city for many, many years to help crisis pregnancy, to help the dads of that crisis pregnancy get their life on track, to learn about Jesus, to help that baby be born. It's a beautiful, beautiful ministry. We've got a number of our people that volunteer there. I went there. And Dr. Bill Lyle, who spoke here, y'all remember Dr. Lyle? You remember Sidney Lyle and Emily, their children that have been in our church family here? He was the speaker, and he talked about a medical center that spent $20 million to learn how to do open-heart surgery in the womb. He showed pictures of it. We had finished eating, and he showed pictures of it. Anyway, they said they had spent $20 million on learning how to do that. And then they said, here's the ironic thing. He said, this same hospital is spending millions of dollars to bring people that are in states where you can't get abortions. They're flying them in to get abortions in that medical center. To me, that's confusion. They're trying to save that baby because that's a real life. And then they're trying to take life in the same facility. Confusion. Our world is so mixed up, ladies and gentlemen. You and I, we better align ourselves with the owner's manual of life, which is God's Word, instead of being so confused. You know, there's all kinds of confusion now about gender and things like that. You've got the record of the DNA. You've got the record of the anatomy, and it tells you what the gender is. But now gender is in question. Well, the Bible says God made them male and female. But such confusion, folks, we need to teach our young people, we need to teach ourselves, we need to get back to God's Word. It's the owner's manual. Listen, He knows more about you than you know about yourself. You say, well, I know what's right and wrong on this thing. You know what? This world is so confused. You end up in assemblies and in meetings, you don't even know why you're there. That's what happened in Ephesus. These people were rallying against the Apostle Paul and against the gospel of Jesus, and some of them did not even know why they were there. Hey, look, we need God's design. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right? Finally, the clerk got their attention. First of all, they put up Alexander, and they realized he was a Jewish guy, and the Jews were against idolatry too. So then they hollered for two more hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And they hollered it for two more hours. So finally the clerk got him aside and said, look, in verse 35 of our text, and he says to them, the city clerk had quieted the crowd. He was like the mayor of the city. And he said, look, what man is there who does not know that the city of Ephesus is temple guardian, the great goddess Diana? Basically, he was saying, look, Diana is housed here. We have a great temple to Diana here. Don't y'all know that? Diana's a god. She's going to be fine. What are y'all arguing about? Basically, what he said, you've brought these men here. They haven't robbed the temple. They haven't said anything blasphemous necessarily in their confession today. And so basically, He let them go. He said, if you have charges, bring it into the court. If you have other things to say, you can take it to the assembly in verse 39. For we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give account to this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Well, the city clerk, he made the statement, "Don't y'all know that Diana or Artemis came down from heaven and landed in Ephesus?" It could have been a meteorite or something that years ago had fallen, and they thought that was it was a god that had fallen. The history tells us that's what they believed. That city clerk, listen to me, he may have been sincere, but he was totally wrong. Because can I tell you this? No one worships Diana now. No one goes to that temple now. But all over the world, right now on the first day of the week, just like we're all here, people are gathering, millions of people are gathering to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The city clerk, he got Paul and his friends out of a bind right there. But the day would come later where he would not get them out of a bind. The law at that time had gotten them out of a bind, and Paul used that civil law in many cases to get himself out of an ordeal. But there was going to come a time when that was not going to help him. And the city clerk said, "Don't y'all know that Diana's from Ephesus, and Diana's going to be fine. She's our God." Well, he was totally wrong, because today millions have worshiped the Lord Jesus, and Diana is gone. So what are some takeaways? Well, the first thing is this: your priority and purpose is to pioneer the gospel to everyone. That's what we're to be about. That's what Paul was about. Number two, your faithfulness to share Jesus will be threatening to those who put their trust elsewhere. Why is that? Because you're challenging them. You're challenging them to think about what is it you're putting your trust in, all right? And watch out when it affects people's money. That's a takeaway. The third thing, in confusing days. Now, church family, are we in confusing days? Amen. Our world is confused. But let me say this. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and you hold to the authority of this book right here, you're not confused. You don't have to be confused. Because in confusing days, here's the takeaway, the third takeaway. In confusing days, go to God's Word. God's design, it's the owner's manual. If you don't go by the owner's manual, you're going to mess up. When I was a kid, I got my model of the Star Trek Enterprise. And I was so excited. I watched Star Trek. I knew what that thing looked like. So I started grabbing the pieces. What is that, Dave Wright could tell me? Dave Wright, what is that kind of glue, that clear glue? Does anyone know the name of it? What's that brand of glue for models we used to use? Say it again. Say it again. Testers. That's it, John. It's like crazy glue. Crazy glue is a new addition of that. Okay, but back in my day, it was testers. It was a clear glue. And let me tell you something about testers. You put it on there, it's gonna stick. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I had my Star Trek Enterprise. And I knew what it looked like, so I got those big pieces, and I had that big round part. And I said, "I know this goes here," and I put it on there, and it looked like it fit. So I got that tester done, put it on there. And I got this, the little things, you know, the back of the main engine of the thing and all that. I put it all together, and I looked at it, and I said, "Man, there's my Star Trek Enterprise." I look in the box, and there's a bunch of pieces in there. I said, "Wait a minute. What have I done wrong?" You know what I did wrong? I didn't read the directions. You and I, let's don't be so arrogant that we think we can put our lives together on our own. The greatest day of your life is the day that you give your life to Jesus and you say, "Jesus, I'm going to live by your design. You tell me how to be a good friend. You tell me about money. You tell me about marriage. You tell me about gender. You tell me about life in the womb. You tell me about all these things, and I'm going to go with you." And when you live that way, one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be so glad that you lived according to His ways, because If you do it your way, you're going to come to the end of your life, you're going to look in the box, and there's going to be pieces there you missed. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.